day two in the sugya of tattoos. I'm only going to be able to say one more shiur on tattoos, so it's going to be today and tomorrow. Thursday, Rabbi Levin is giving shiur. So let's cover whatever we can over here. What I want to get through today is the basic Rishonim. And in order to get through the basic Rishonim, I was trying to figure out the best way to approach this sugya. It's a really great sugya to do, not only because it's an interesting topic, but also because we have seen every Gemara in Shas about tattoos. There really is only one Gemara in Shas about tattoos. So it's really a self-contained kind of sugya. So all the Rishonim are here. All the, you know, you can really, and it's such a small Gemara, so you can really trace this through the halacha in such a clear way. It's a really great sugya on how to learn halacha. But in order to do this, I think we should chart out the following things. We should first lay out how many issues need to be discussed after we saw the Gemara. We know that in the Mishnah we had a machlokas, whether it's only writing Shem Avodah Zarah or writing anything is an iser, is Yechayv Malkus for. We had a machlokas in the Gemara, if you put ashes over an open wound and that leaves a mark, whether that's us or whether we assume that no one's going to think that that's a tattoo because everyone's going to realize makaso mochiach alav shitas ravashi. So first thing we have to figure out is how do we paskin in both of those cases, right? How do we paskin in Shem Avodah Zarah, and how do we paskin in makaso in Efer Makla, in the ashes situation? Then, once we get to those basic machlokos, and we're going to try to figure out how to paskin, we also have to discuss some basic ideas about the iser, about the nature of the iser, of the maisa iser. For example, everyone seems to agree, because it's explicit in the Gemara, that there are two components to the iser of getting a tattoo, of having a tattoo, of making a tattoo. What are the two parts to the iser? There's the cutting, and then there's the inking. And those are two different components, and if you do one without the other, one is not chayiv. That's explicit in the Gemara. Kasav lo ka'aka, ka'aka v'lo kasav. If you do one without the other, eino chayiv. You're not going to be chayiv for doing one without the other. The Mishnah said, rather. Eino chayiv ad sheyichtov v'yekaka. That it has to be that you're kosev and mekakea. So, the question is, we know there are two components. Does the order matter? Does it matter if you do it with the scratching and then cutting and then dropping in the ink? Or if you drop in the ink and then cut? Would that make a difference? The next thing, related to that perhaps, is not just does the order matter, but what do the words mean? Ksuvas ka'aka. That's what it says in the Torah in this week's parsha. Clearly, the way all the Rishonim seem to understand is one of those words refers to the cutting, and one of those words refers to the inking. Which word refers to which? Is ksuvas the cutting and ka'aka the inking? Or is ksuvas the inking and ka'aka the cutting? Now, why that matters, if either way you hold that you need both, we'll see. We'll get to why that might matter. So does the order matter? What do the words mean? How much of this, and the fifth issue, how much of this is an issue of ksiva? What if you don't put letters? You just make a mark. I gave you the example of the senior that colored on his arm. Do you need to write letters in order to be chayiv? Or are you chayiv even if you don't write letters? Another issue. What else we got here? How permanent does it have to be? How long does it have to last in order for it to be called ksuvas ka'aka? Yeah?
No matter what your intentions are, meaning with the example of the senior, he wasn't trying to make a mark on his arm.
So that may play a role, and we'll see that through answering these questions. That may play a role, and maybe related to that even, number seven, the seventh issue I would say is, now when we describe the issue, we're describing cutting, inking. When you go to get a tattoo, you are neither cutting nor inking. What are you doing? You're sitting there, and they're doing it to you. So to what extent do we assume that's an issue? Do you get malchus for that, for just sitting there and getting cut and getting inked? Never said that in the Gemara. We saw every Gemara in Shas about tattoos. It never said that, and it sounds better when you say it that way, right? Then I read three lines of Gemara Malkus. It never said in the Gemara what happens if you're Chayv Malkus for just sitting there. So that's the issue of just of whether shevi al tase or misayeya, or if you're just moving, you know, and helping them do it, but you're not actually doing any of the cutting of the inking. Are you chayev? So what I want to do is read together with you a few basic rishonim and see how many of these issues are dealt with by these basic rishonim and how they come out on those issues that they deal with. So the first basic rishon they have to look at whenever you do any sugya and shas is first basic rishon, Rashi. Problem over here is Rashi died on Daf Yotes. So we don't have Rashi. But instead of Rashi, we have someone doing an excellent imitation of Rashi, and that is his son-in-law and Talmud, the Rivan. So the first one we're going to want to look at is the Rivan, because that's how you learn Gemara. You learn Gemara, you look at Rashi first. And when you have Rashi, you look at Rashbam, Rivan, whoever's making believe they're Rashi. That's what you look at first. Then you want to keep an eye toward the halacha. So who are you going to look at when it comes to determining the halacha? The Rosh, certainly. The Rif, and the Rambam. So let's say the Rambam chiefly, because the Rosh and the Rif have precious little to say about tattoos. The Rosh only deals with one of these issues. He quotes the Gemara and then adds five words and five words only to the entire discussion. So the Rambam reformulates everything. The Rambam never just quotes a Gemara. He reformulates everything, so every word is so carefully chosen, we're going to be able to see a lot more in the Rambam. Now, in general, if you want to be familiar with the issues and what the thinking is on many of the issues, so that we can better understand how the halacha is formulated, we should also look at some of the major basic rishonim. Like you would look at someone like the Ramban, the Rashba, but I find it easiest to look at the Ritva. It's from the same school. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva were all the same. The Ra'ah, they were all the same school of thought. So we're also going to take a look at the Ritva. It's going to be very important to take a look at over here. And also in formulating a mitzvah, in describing anything that's a very clear mitzvah sase or mitzvah lo sase, we have the advantage of an extra rishon that we can take a look at. It's very rare you have a Gemara where the whole discussion of the Gemara is an entire mitzvah in the Torah, and this sugya encapsulates the whole mitzvah. So every issue we're going to have is going to be encapsulated by he who discusses mitzvos. And who is he who discusses mitzvos? Well, the Rambam has a sefer mitzvos, but we're going to look at the Rambam Mishnah Torah primarily. Who's the other major? There are several, but who's the other major one that's probably used more often than anyone else besides the Rambam in terms of formulating mitzvos? Where do you look to find out the 613 mitzvos in the Torah? Smag is one of them. What? Sefer HaChinuch. So we're going to look at the Chinuch as well. So now, keeping an eye toward these issues, let's go through. So I'm writing it down as I go, otherwise I would get totally confused. But let's take a look first. We started yesterday the Rivan. So first of all, the Rivan in on the Mishnah. Ksuvas Ka'aka. Very important to pay attention to the wording of the Rivan. Ksuvas Ka'aka, says the Rivan. Kosev tchila al besaro besam o besikra, va'achar kach mikakeh abasar b'machar o besakin. He's already answered a few of them. No, what did he answer? Of these seven issues. Anyone else write them down besides me? Seven issues. How do we pass him b'shem avod zar? He hasn't dealt with yet. Ephraim Akli he hasn't dealt with yet. He's not going to deal with psak so much because it's the Rivan. He doesn't deal with psak. He's taking place with Rashi. Rashi doesn't deal with psak. The order. Did he deal with the order? Yeah, he was pretty clear about that, right? Your kosev tchila al besaro besamo besikra. What's samo sikra? That's ink, different types of ink. Va'achar kach mikakeya. And then you cut. Now, if you just wanted to tell me that there were two components, there's the ink and the cutting, just say, you ink and you cut. Why does he have to say, first tchila you put the ink, and then you cut? Sounds like the order is important. So the Rivan seems to take a stand in terms of the order. Ink first, cutting second. Where would he get that from? Where does he get that idea that inking comes before cutting? How did he get such a notion? No, it doesn't say in the Gemara any order that you have to do it. Maybe he's just describing that's the way it was done. Do you think that's the way it was done? They poured ink all over their skin, and then they cut themselves and let the ink fall in. Doesn't seem like a logical way to do it. That's what he's describing, though.
Maybe more control.
Let's think more text based. What does the pasuk say? Ksuvas Kaka, Pasuk says. So the Rivan says Ksuvas first, then Kaka, which means first you write, then you. So you see, he's also dealing with the definition of the terms. Ksuvas means the ink, and Kaka means. Would be the Havamin otherwise? Because half the Rishonim say otherwise. Let's see. Yeah, you would think it means Kosev, right? Okay. Now, Vaitiv. So you're Kosev al Basaro, and then you let the you cut it open and you let it from Vinichnas Hatseva Bein Or LeBasar Vinira Bo Kol Hayamim. What did he just answer? How permanent? How permanent does it have to be? Kol Hayamim. What does Kol Hayamim mean? As long as you live, I assume. It has to be forever, as long as you live. Kalayam. Ka'aka pintarava, or whatever. He translates the word into some old French word. Why does he have to translate the word? Because it appears once in all of Tanakh, and we have no idea what it means. Like, the word kosev appears in a lot of places. But that word, ka'aka, does not appear anywhere else. So we have no idea what it means. So he's saying, yeah, it means to scratch. It means to cut. So between being kosev and cutting, you get one iser, the iser of tattooing. Va'asur lichtov shum k'tiva bi'olam al basaro. You cannot write any writing, be it French, English, Spanish, Portuguese, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. Any writing. Be'inyanza, in this manner. What does he mean, in this manner? Maybe in this order and with this permanence. Meaning he's saying that everything I said is you have to be medactic. Everything I said is accurate. It has to be done this way. Shekach gzeiras hakosev. And don't start asking me why. Why this way? Why not, if you cut and then put the ink in, why wouldn't you be chayiv then? Gzeiras hakosev. It said ksuvas first, then kaka. It said that it has to be done. It's got to be everlasting. It's just a gzeiras hakosev. Now, what did he just... What other question may he have just answered? What? Oh, so he said shum ksiva bi'ola. If you, let's say, were, you know, coloring on yourself during class, and you left a big blue blotch on your skin, is that ksiva? Shum ksiva ba'ola probably means no matter what language you're writing in. But it sounds like you do have to be writing in a language. And that's why he doesn't say shiroshem al basaro. He says kosev, you're kosev, kosev, kosev. He uses the term ksiva over and over and over again. Ksiva always means letters. So it sounds like it has to be letters. Kosev sounds like letters. I'm just taking notes as we do this together also, so I can remember, keep everything straight over here. Yeah.
So also maybe he says, well, Olam, if what if you get removed, then were you ever over an Isser? Because it has to be very specifically this. So if it doesn't last forever...
Vinira bo kalayami. Meaning you're saying that, like, similar to what we're discussing, like, by Kares, by Bris Mila. That if you're not an Arel, call a Yamim, so you're not going to...
Kares, you don't give Malchus, you give. So as soon as you do it,
you're ready Chayv Malchus right then. Good point. That's a very good point.
So if you remove it, based on, if we're saying that Rashi or Rivan is saying, this is the exact way you have the Yisr, this is the exact way, then if any... change that life of the whole thing. So meaning you're 85 years old, you have tattoo I love mom, right? And then take it out, right? You know.
Okay, so we'll see.
The whole thing is that it has the ability to be.
Right. So the question, right, probably means that it could be permanent. Now, we also have to discuss at some point and maybe we can add this as number 8 on the list, whether there's any prohibition in keeping it or any requirement to get rid of it, which I alluded to a little bit yesterday. Maybe I'll just add that to the bottom of the list just so we don't forget. Must you remove it / keep it? Meaning, it could be that you have to remove it, it could be that you have to keep it. Because it's chaval ba'atzma, you're not allowed to be chovel in yourself unnecessarily. That's the story they tell about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that when his daughter was like a teenager, did I tell you guys this story? When his daughter was like a teenager, she was 14, 15 years old, and she wanted to get earrings. She wanted to pierce her ears. And Rav Aaron, up until that point, never allowed his daughters to get their ears pierced because he thought it was chaval ba'atzma. He thought that you're not allowed to wound yourself. So his daughter said, I want to pierce my ears. He says, no, it's chavala. She says, what are you talking about? The whole world does it. Every from person. There's not, you know, it can't be the chavala. I guess if you're kid talking to a parent, you could talk like that. So Rav Aaron said, the whole world is wrong. What do you want me to tell you? it's Chavala. So she said, I want you to ask a Shaila. So who did he go to ask a Shaila to? So when he was in America, his father-in-law was his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik was his Rebbe. He moved to Israel. It's amazing anivus. He was in a Gon Olam. He moved there and so said, I need a Rebbe. How can I be somewhere without a Rebbe? So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, became his Rebbe. And why was he so taken? Rav Shlomo Zalman was a Haredi. Rav Aaron was a Datilumi, you know, you wouldn't think, you know, PhD from Harvard. Why Dafka Rav Shlomo Zalman of all the people to go to? Because Rav Aaron used to say about Rav Shlomo Zalman, if Rav Shlomo Zalman forgot all of his Torah tomorrow, he'd still be the most Shena Yid in all of Yerushalayim. Still be the sweetest Jew in all of Jerusalem. And that meant something to him. The fact that there was just something about his purity of his neshama that was so attractive. So he took his daughter to Rav Shlomo Zalman. This is the way he told the story. He took his daughter to Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said, and I knew I was in trouble when Rav Shlomo Zalman greeted my daughter before he greeted me. Oh, nice to see you. How you doing? He said, uh-oh, this is not going to end well for me. You know, Rabbi Avishai David from Torah Shragan, his hesped for Rav Aaron said that he was once visiting with Rav Shlomo Zalman in the late 70s, and Rav Aaron walked in, and Rav Shlomo Zalman stood up Malo Komaso for Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. You know, it may not sound remarkable because we would also stand up Malo Komaso for Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, but you have to realize there's a big difference between us and Rav Shlomo. Meaning, like, if I were to, like, I mentioned to my Talmidim today, I have a Talmud who's a fourth grade Rebbe in Har Torah. If I were to walk into his classroom, I would imagine he would tell the boys to stand up for me because I'm his Rebbe and that's what he wants to train fourth graders to do. And that makes a certain amount of sense that that's what the fourth graders would do. But if I went to Rav Shechter stood up, that doesn't make any sense. It's someone who's 40 years older than you and knows, you know, and is Gadol Adar, that doesn't make any sense. The fact that Rav Shlomo Zalman stood for Rav Aaron says something about Rav Shlomo Zalman. Says something about Rav Aaron, says even more about Rav Shlomo Zalman. Just whatever. But so Rav Shlomo Zalman said to Rav Aaron, so, no, what can I do for you? Said to his daughter, what can I do for you? Didn't say to Rav Aaron anything. Said to his daughter, what can I do for you? And she said, my father doesn't want to let me get my ears pierced, and I want to get my ears pierced. So he turns to Rav Aaron and he puts his hand on Rav Aaron's arm and he says, Rav Aaron said to this day he didn't know what the logic for the psak was. He just put his hand on his arm and he said, sometimes you just have to let go a little bit. that was it. So, okay. So, I remember how this came up. I don't know why this came up. What are we talking about? Oh, are you allowed to remove it? Because you're cutting yourself being chaval ba'atma. So that's my favorite story about being chaval ba'atma. So, what else does the Rivan help us with? So if you look at the Rivan we saw yesterday, in explaining Shitas Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon said, you're only chayiv if you write a Shem Avodah Zarah. So do we paskin that way? So says the Rivan, Uksuvus kaka lo titnu bachem, and the Gemara, Shum ksuvus kaka lo yasu lefanai, Shani Hashem, Vasur atem lichtuv Shem acher al besarchem. So he said, the Rivan breaks the paskin in two parts. Ksuvus kaka lo titnu bachem means, don't write anything. No writing. I don't care if you write your mom's name, your girlfriend's name, nothing. Don't write any of it. Your favorite sports team, doesn't matter. And the Hashem is an additional iser. Don't write a Shem Avodah Zarah. Remember Ani Hashem. And if you write something on your skin, you tattoo something in your skin that shows allegiance to the Tzaros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the competitors, so to speak, Kaviyachol, well, that's a violation. Alma, says the Rivan, Iker chiyuva mishum shem avodus kachavimu. The Iker chiyuva is shem avodazara. Umihu asr lichtov shum ksiva b'yolma. The Iker chiyuva is shem avodazara. But it's asr to write anything. Shum ksiva. Again, Dafka keeps using that term, ksiva, not reshima. Ksiva. You can't write it. You can't write your mom's name. You can't write your girlfriend's name. It's all asr midoraisa, sounds like he's saying. But you're only going to get malkus if you write the Shem Avodah Zarah, afilu the Rabbi Shimon. And that's even according to Rabbi Shimon. So what's this is a psak in a way. Because even though he's not telling you whether to pass like Rabbi Shimon or the Chamin, he's telling you that Rabbi Shimon would hold, not that it's mutter to write other things besides for Shem Avodah Zarah, just that you wouldn't get malchus for writing other things. But it's usher, and what kind of isser? Sounds doraisa, not even drabbanan. That it's a doraisa. It's just a secondary doraisa. Mashal amad davar doma. What we discussed all of last week. That Rav Asher Weiss had that great chiddush that sometimes there are isurim daraisa where there's the ikur isur daraisa and the tafel. So therefore, he's paskening on the first issue. When it comes to Shema Vodazara, it's asur daraisa, even not avodazara. It's right things that are not avodazara asur daraisa. The whole machlok is only to get malchus for them, but it's definitely asur daraisa. Yeah. No, not for this, because it has to be a tattoo, meaning suvas and kaka both have to be fulfilled.
But he's saying that the whole point is that if it would be avodah zarah, that would be avera. As opposed to like what we said yesterday, but like, is it necessarily that if it's avodah zarah that you're worshipping it, that you're on
avodah? No, I think he's saying this is a practice of the ovdei avodah zarah. To show their allegiance by tattooing avodah zarah. So it may not be an avoda.
The avoda is tattooing.
Yeah, or the isra. Let's not even call it the avoda, because it may not be an avoda, but this isra daraisa is tattooing a shema avodah zarah. But what the Rivan is saying is that even that this isra daraisa is tattooing anything, especially a shema avodah zarah. That would be the way to phrase it. Is tattooing any words, especially shema avodah zarah. You're only going to get malchus for shema avodah zarah. But the Yisr includes everything, according to the Rivan, which is a phenomenal chiddush.
You're definitely not
chayv misa, right? The question also would be, and this also is a critical point. It seems that all agree, and that's why I didn't even put it on the list. But all agree that this relates in some way to avodah zarah, meaning that the Yisr of tattooing is in some way avodah zarah related. So what you then have to ask is, so is it an abizrayu avodah zarah? What is it? What would it mean? The main nafkamina, whether you would call it an abizrayu of avodah zarah, like an offshoot of avodah zarah. Nafkamina's Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that not only are the three big ones yaharig val yavar, but any abizrayu of the three big ones are yaharig val yavar. Someone put to my told me in my 11th grade told me said to me today, Rabbi, someone puts a gun to your head, says you got to get a tattoo. What tattoo do you get? What do you write? And where do you put it? Strange question. So they're just trying to bat it. So. It worked. So I was like, that's very interesting. I'll go shoulder and a Torah. So, but maybe the answer is nothing. Bullet. Take the bullet. Because if it's an Abizrayu of Avodah Zarah, then it should be Yaharig Val Yavar. So how much do we say this is part of an Isra of Avodah Zarah or an independent Isra that's just Avodah Zarah related? Right? That's also fascinating because I didn't see anywhere that says Yaharig Val Yavar. So l'chora, even though everyone agrees it's based in avodah zarah, somehow it didn't rise to the level of being an abizrayu of avodah zarah, which is very interesting. We have to figure out what the lumdus in that would be. That's also a good question. I got to write that down. It's based in avodah zarah, but not abizrayu, it seems, because no one really mentions it. At least that I've seen so far, no one really mentions it as an abizrayu of avodah zarah. So the only thing the Rivan did not deal with for us is the only three things that he did not is what we paskin about the Efer Mikla, about putting the ashes on an open wound, what we paskin about if you're not actually doing the writing, you're just doing the receiving, you're on the receiving end of a tattoo, do you get malchus for that? And once you have a tattoo, must you remove it, must you keep it? He didn't deal with those issues. So let's take a look at the Rambam. And again, every word is so critical in Rishonim, but in particular in the Rambam. First of all, where is this Rambam? In what area of halacha? Halachas of Avodah Zarah. So right off the bat, we see, again, the Rambam, like all the other Rishonim, like it sounds from Chumash, assumes that this is an Avodah Zarah-related Isser on some level. Says the Rambam, Ksuvas ka'aka ha'amura b'torah, the ksuvas ka'aka that the Torah tells us is forbidden, hu she yisaret al b'sara. What does that mean? Yisaret al b'sara. Hebrew, no one knows? Yisaret al b'sara? Scratch. Scrape. Person scrapes his skin. V'yemale mokom asrito k'chol odio. And then you fill that makom asrito with kol or dio. Kol is blue ink, dio is black ink. Oshar tzivonim haroshmim, or any other color haroshmim. What's Roshmim? That leaves a mark. What does he not say? Okay, first of all, he didn't discuss the permanence. He said Roshmim. What was the Lashon the Rivan kept on using? Ksiva. Rambam doesn't use the word Ksiva. Ah, sounds like just a mark. What's the order of doing it according to the Rambam? What are you doing first? You're scratching first, which means you're cutting first, and then inserting things. So right off the bat, Rambam on issue number 3, cutting first, ink second. Does it have to be letters? Rambam never talked, in this entire Rambam, doesn't talk about kosei. He talks about roshim, roshim, roshim. I'm going to see over and over again. Just the Rishima, just being roshim. Rishima means an impression or a mark. My father-in-law was once in shul and he fell asleep during the rabbi's drasha and he fell asleep on his hand like that and he woke up and he had a big red mark on his head. And he went to the rabbi afterwards and he said, look what an impression your drasha made on me. So as a rabbi, I'm like, that's not funny, even though it really is. It's very hurtful. So, oh, Shar Tzivot of Arosh, or any other color that leaves a mark. He says, and this was what the Goyim used to do, that they would be roshim themselves for Avodah Zarah. Klomar, shehu eved machur la umorshim la avodasa. Apparently it used to be that when you would have an eved, like branding an eved, you would like tattoo the eved to like, you know, property of whatever. Right? And that would be his way of showing that he belongs, or your way of showing that he belongs to you. So when people would want to show allegiance to the Avodah Zarah, it wasn't an Avodah. The Avodah of the Avodah Zarah was bowing to it, bringing karbanos to it, burning ketores to it, things like that. But to show an allegiance to an Avodah Zarah, they would tattoo themselves with the Shem Avodah Zarah. So since that was their derech, that was the Minhag HaAkum, that's what this is based on. Umeish she'yir shom be'echad midvarim haroshmin. He couldn't like be me'eis sheyirshom be'achad midvar maroshmin, not sheyichtov be'achad midvar makosmin. Not even a ksiva, it's rishima. How much of an impression are you leaving? Achar sheyisrot be'eis emakom enaguf. After you've already scratched on some part of the body. So again, very clear about the order. Bein ish bein isha loka. Man, woman doesn't make a difference. You get malchus. The one question I do not have an answer to is why does he have to say Bein Ish Bein Isha? What is the Hava Amina that this would apply to anyone, meaning that this would not apply to an Isha? Why would you think, meaning I don't understand, does he say that by every halacha? I don't think so. Why do you have to say Bein Ish Bein Isha? This is so far from Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. It's not even like in the ballpark. It's not a Mitzvah Saseh and it's not Zman Grama. And it's all about Avodah Zarah. Every other Avodah Zarah applies Bein Ish Bein Isha. So I actually just thought of why. I think the Rambam is foreshadowing what he's going to say in 2 lines from now. So keep that in mind. Keep that question in mind. Why he says Bein Ish Bein Isha for a moment. Hang on to that. Says the Rambam, Kasav lo rasham bitseva. If you are kasav, but lo rasham bitseva. Now here's where it's critical. To translate the words the way the Rambam translates it, not the way we would normally translate. Let's not translate the word kasav for now, because the way we would probably translate the word kasav is you take ink and you form letters with ink, right? What does Rasham Bitseva mean? Rasham Bitseva. You leave a mark with ink. Rasha means a mark. Seva means color. You leave a mark with color, that which means you leave ink there. Then what does kasav mean?
Letters.
I don't think so. In this case, Ram doesn't hold you need that. I think kasav means you're scraping. You're scraping into the skin. The kasav is the scrapes. And then Rasham Bitseva is you leave the ink there.
Is there any way to know that that's what kasav is, except for, like...
Just the way he... Right?
Except for just saying...
Well, look at the next slide, and he gives it away. Oh, sharasham bitseva, velo kasav bisrita! What does Svita mean? Scratching. Or you just put the ink, but you didn't do the Kasav Bisrita. So how does he translate Kasav? Scraping, scratching, cutting. How does he translate Kaka? That's ink. He flips the translation of the terms. That's critical, I think. Potter achiyichtov yikaykeh. Shnemar ksuvas kaka. So one second. Let's stop there for a second. So the Rambam, in terms of issue number 4, definition of ksuvas and kaka, the Rambam will say ksuvas means scratching. Kaka means ink. Now, why does the Rambam not hold you need to write letters? Why does he think a mark is good enough? Because there's no din of kosev. Ksuvas doesn't mean to write. Ksuvas means to scratch. So that's why he holds you don't need any letters over here. Why does the Rambam hold that it's cutting first and then the ink second? Because the way he teaches the words, ksuvas means cutting, kaka means ink. So you follow the Seder of the Chumash. It all relates to how you translate the simple words in Chumash. Unbelievable, no? One second, I want to get through a little bit more in the Rambam before we take questions. Now remember, you saw every Gemara in Shas about tattooing. And so far the issues that he's discussing are fundamental to tattoos. And you would imagine he would talk about them. But we're only talking about the kosev. Over here he doesn't mean as opposed to the roshem. He means the guy who's doing it. The one, the tattoo artist, they call them, right? But the guy who got written on, whose flesh was used to get written on, v'kiyakubo, he's not going to be chayv unless he did something. What does it mean to do something? He moved his arm, he helped, he did. But if he didn't do anything, he's not going to be chayv. If he does and he moves and he helps you write on him, good question. I don't know, it's a good question. Avalim lo asa klum en aloka. If he did nothing in the process, maybe, then he doesn't get malchus. Where in the world did the Rambam get that from? Did the Gemara discuss that? What did the Gemara talk about? Mishnah. Ha-kosev ksoves ka'aka. Ka'aka. A person is kosev. He is the one who's the artist of the ksoves ka'aka, of the tattoo. Where does the Rambam get the idea that you can get malchus for being tattooed on? Now, probably if I would have asked any of you before we started the sugya, what's the yisur? Being the artist or being the recipient? Probably you all would have said the recipient. You can't get a tattoo. But that's not what it says in the Torah, and it's not what it says in the Mishnah, and it's not what it says in the Gemara. And the Rambam is mechadesh that receiving the tattoo, you can get malchus if you are misayaya. Now you could say it's a chiddush that you don't get malchus if you're not misayaya. I think it's a chiddush that you do get malchus when you are misayaya. You know why? What's the maisa yisur? There are two components to the Maisa Isser. The Mishnah couldn't be clearer. You have to do cutting and you have to do ink dropping. And if you don't do both of those things, you're not going to be Chayav Malkus. Well, if you're sitting there, even if you're moving, even if you're helping, you are not doing cutting and you are not doing ink dropping. Where in the world does he get the idea that you're going to be Chayav for that? Very strong Kasha. And it bothered the Kesef Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah writes on that Rambam. It's like the Rambam is so beautiful. Like every word, so critical. Says the Kesef Mishnah. Umasha in the next source in the top page, whatever page. I'm using a different copy than you are, so I don't know. Right after the Rambam. Right after the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah. Umash Kesef Medvar Mamurim. The second line of that Kesef Mishnah. Lo yadati lo makom. Mefurash, it should be. I don't know where it says this anywhere, says the Kesef Mishnah. This thing about getting a tattoo. Ve'efsha shalomda midin hakafas harosh shekasafti lamayla. Maybe he learned it from the din of hakafas harosh. What's the din of hakafas harosh? And this is going to answer another shverkat in the Rambam, another problem in the Rambam. What's the difference of kafas rosh? You're not allowed to cut off your peis. Hakafa means to round off. You're not allowed to get a round haircut, where you cut it like that, you cut everything under the line, right, around your head. That's the issue of cutting off your peis. Who's not allowed to cut off their peis? Men, women, children. It's an issue on men, not an issue on women. Why does the Rambam have to say, when it comes to getting a tattoo, bein ish, bein isha? The issur applies to a man and to a woman alike, because apparently the Rambam associates tattoos with hakafas harosh. These are all avodah zarah related activities that create their own isurim d'oraisa. These are all of a. This might go on the list of Rav Yosef Engel's siyag d'oraisa. Things that the Torah prohibits because they are related to a more severe Torah prohibition. These are all avodah zarah related issues. Unbelievable. Every word. Bein ish, bein isha. Why do you have to say that? Of course, bein isha. It's a low sasay. Yeah, but there's gzeris hakasuv that hakafas harosh doesn't apply to an isha. So maybe ksuvas kaka shouldn't apply to an isha either. That's why the Rambam says, no, no, it does. The details are not the same. But as far as the maisa iser, what's going to be called the maisa iser of hakafas harosh? Even being misayaya is enough for it to be a maisa iser. That's halacha mefurish in the Gemara about hakafas harosh, which is going to be next week's sugya. I'm going to talk about payas next week. So that's next week's sugya. But it's a mefurish in the Gemara that misayaya is enough to get malchus for hakafas harosh. So says the Rambam, learning from there, misayaya is also enough to get malchus when it comes to getting a tattoo. Unbelievable. Maybe just one or two ha'aros. If you look in the Avodas HaMelech on the Rambam, the very next source, the Avodas HaMelech, in that last paragraph that I have there of Avodas HaMelech, I think the Avodas HaMelech was written by an uncle of Rav Soloveitchik. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong sefer. I think Avodas HaMelech was written by Rav Soloveitchik's uncle. And when Rav Soloveitchik was in Berlin, he had access to all these fancy libraries that had all these rare svarim. So the Avodas HaMelech would write him, can you look up for me, you know. So he quotes his nephew every once in a while, but never in Lamdas, which is so strange, because Rav Soloveitchik was like the world's greatest Lamdan. But all he quotes his nephew is, yeah, my nephew found this sefer and he gave me this Mar Makom, as if like his nephew was like a phone book or something, you know. It's like very strange. So anyway, on that Rambam, says Avod Samelch a little bekiyus. He says, "Vubitel sefta demakos perikimel akosiv ksuvus kaka bevasar shel chaveru shneim chayavin." But medvar mamurim is not shneim mezidin. Avod me shogim peturin echad shogim vechan mezid shogim pater mezid chayav al karkfim sayek mashkazu gemara. Fine. Essentially, what he says is that the Rambam didn't make this up, nor did he make the connection on his own to Hakavas Arosh. There's actually a Tosefta that says this way. Part of the challenge in learning Rambam is we never know where he got things from. But this is actually an explicit Tosefta. I'm going to leave you with a question. What if the guy giving you the haircut is a guy? Not the haircut. The guy giving the tattoo is a guy. So is he going to be Chayiv Malchus for giving you a tattoo? No, he's a guy. He has no mitzvah, he has no iser. Do you get Malchus if you're Misayaya and he gives you? Is that more of a reason or less of a reason for you to get Malchus? Now one could argue, well, it's more of a reason to get Malchus because now it's all on you. Because he has no iser. Or one could argue, no. The only reason you get Malchus when you're Misayaya is because you're helping him do an iser, doing a Maisa Iser. But if he's not doing a Maisa Iser, you're playing no part in a Maisa Iser. So maybe you shouldn't get Malchus at all. What this really boils down to is what I'm asking is, when you are Misayaya, what is the nature of your iser? Is it that you are participating in his iser and that's why you get Malchus? Or is Misayaya Ki'ilu, you're doing whatever Maisa you're being Misayaya in? So it's like you're doing the Maisa, not that you're piggybacking his iser, but it's your Maisa. We view it as if it's your Maisa. So that's the lamdas that you need to think about. As Hashem, what I want you to do in Seder, really try to go through it. This one is, it's really kedai to put the time in. you know, go through what the Ritva says, how the Sefer, what the Sefer Chinuch says, the seven issues that we raised, and how each of them take a stand, and then let's see how it all plays out in halacha. Okay.